We're on the winter crab dredge.
On the other crab.
Okay.
Item 12.
Maybe we should have a short break.
You don't go back in there with them?
No.
We'll switch gears and talk about that other crab that we actually like to eat. Okay, everyone has the handouts. The handouts that are coming around, combination of three items. The very top item is the table, which I'll get to in a minute, just so you can actually have it in front of you and see it. I know on the screen it's something that's difficult to see. Behind that are two press releases, one from Virginia and one from Maryland, all having to do with the blue crab winter dredge survey results that have come out for the most recent, at least the preliminary results. So, and I'll get to the press releases toward the end. Just on for the benefit of Mr. Beck and Ms. Haney, since I think this will be the first winter dredge survey review that we'll be providing for you, the winter dredge survey, just in brief, it's a survey that's been in existence since 1990 and continues on ever since. It basically takes a six-foot-wide Virginia crab dredge and samples 1,500 sites over three distinct areas in the bay, the lower bay, the middle bay, and the upper bay combined with the sanctuaries. So this is basically, if you can imagine, 1,500 sites along the bay. They sample quite a bit of water from the time period from December into March. On this survey, they take all the crabs in that are collected at each site. They measure them, they weigh them, and they determine their sex. And that all goes into the survey results. Any crab that's less than 2.4 inches is considered a juvenile, a young of the year. Any crab greater than 2.4 inches is considered part of the harvestable stock. So just a little background on the survey itself. I will not spend much time on the table. We provided it to you. We'll pretty much cover the table in some graphs upcoming. But the table is something that you'll see in various reports that are produced by the commission, and it gives the historical data, the raw data from 1990 to present, from everything from the total number of crabs in millions, the total number of juveniles, the total number of females that are mature, the males, and also provides you the bay-wide commercial harvest in millions of pounds, and bay-wide meaning both jurisdictions, Maryland, Potomac River Fisheries Commission, and Virginia combined. It also, in the very last column, provides you the percentage of female crabs harvested at the exploitation rate, and this is a key measure that we use in determining overfishing in this fishery. So I'll go through this more in a graphical sense, and we'll start right off, which is the female blue crab, the annual exploitation fraction with reference points. Female, our reference points are based on the female stock of the Chesapeake Bay blue crab. So we're focusing just on the females here. If we're overfishing, what that means is that we're taking a rate of the stock, a percentage of the stock greater than a set point. So what has been determined is that if we're taking more than 34% of the females, that means that we're overfishing. We have a target of 25.5%, which means we want to manage to that target of exploitation. So we have a long series of data here since 1990. The winter dredge survey is a winter survey, so it actually starts in a preceding year in December through March. So a 1990 value is actually data that came from 1989 through March of 1990. So they all use the end year as the data point. So you can see back in the late 90s, early 2000s, where quite often we had been in that overfishing zone. In more recent years, we have been at or actually below our target. This is all from the 2008 management standards that came about. Last year in 2012, our exploitation rate was the lowest on record at 10%. Now, and I'm going to come back to this in a second, that 29% value we show for 2013 is basically a projection for the year, and I'm going to come back to that in just a second. We also can determine overfish looking at the females. So when we look at the historical data that was provided, the female abundance, spawning age abundance, there was, again, a time period in the late 90s, early 2000s, where we were in that overfish region. That means there were less than 70 million pounds of female blue crabs available, harvestable stock. Our target is 215 million. We want to have 215 million or greater million pounds of females available in this fishery. And you can see back in 2010, we actually achieved that. And then in more recent years, 2011, 2012, we've fallen off a bit until last year where we were at 95 million. And this year we're back up, back on the head in the right direction, 147 million pounds of female crab. Number of crab. All's numbers, and I keep saying pounds. I think I got that caught up from the last presentation. My apologies. So I'll get back to this for a minute. I mentioned this 29% value. What we have done, and I'm going to bring this up again toward the end of the presentation, is we've looked at the total abundance that's available now. But we don't know what our exploitation rate will be for this year because we don't know how much we're going to harvest for this year. We've applied last year's harvest to this year's abundance. And what we have found is if you apply that, we get a rate of 29%. So if we have last year's harvest this year in 2013, next year I'd come before you and say we had an exploitation rate for 2013 of 29%. So that right there starts our word of caution, because if there are suggestions last year's harvest puts us at a point that is between the target and the threshold, we definitely don't want to go any higher. We don't want to be pushing up against that threshold. So that is the first key point that comes out of all the information I'm going to present you. That's a very key point. We have other information that is provided, though, beyond the females, because we're interested in all the crabs. Our male abundance has been down, and especially in more recent years. You can see back in the early 90s, we saw male spawning age abundance that was as high as somewhere between 200 and 250 million crabs. More recent years, it's been below 50 million. In 2010, 2011, 2012, we were somewhere in the 60 to 80 million range. But this last year, for this year's abundance, we're at 42 million. So that is another drop-off. Juvenile crab abundance. Of course, to have big crabs, you have to have the little ones come through. In the early time series, 1990s, you saw very high abundances with a few drops. This one, I note down toward the 1992 time period, was the lowest abundance of juveniles on record, 105 million. And then during the 2000 time period, you saw a series of abundances that were most of the time below 200 million. Last year, 2012, we saw our highest abundance on record, 581 million juvenile crabs. But in 2013, we saw our second lowest, 111. A couple things to take from that. One, we've seen a low pattern before, bracketed by high abundances. So even though this is definitely disconcerting, this is a concern to see such a low number of juveniles, we've also seen that in the past with it come right back up to a high abundance the very next year. So it's not doomsday that we're projecting here. The other thing is a big concern was that 581 estimate from last year, 581 million juveniles. Last year when we were before you, we were talking about how that should translate into a fall fishery. It should move into the fall fishery as harvestable crabs and then as spawning stock for this year. It does not look that actually occurred. We did see an upturn in the female numbers for this year from 95 million to 147 million. But we didn't see this massive amount of increase come through, nor did we see a large increase in harvest last fall that some were thinking would happen. Total abundance then, if we're talking about, you take everything combined, last year, of course, very high abundance last year, 765 million crabs. This year, the total abundance is the sixth lowest at 300 million. But again, the juvenile abundance being as low as it is, we know it is capable of bouncing back from that standpoint. And this is really a reflection of the juvenile abundance being just so low this year, that 581 down to 111. Our statewide harvest of blue crabs last year was 24 million, 24.5 million. So this is statewide, not just Bay only, with a dockside value of $23.5 million. And we still, if you look at the last 4 years since we started our plan in 2008, it is still one of the highest harvest amounts on record in the last 7 to 8 years. And our value is also still one of the higher amounts since we saw the late 90s and early 2000s. We looked at our crab pot harvest and our peeler pot harvest for this past year and compared it to more recent time. You know, 2008 is when we implemented the more current management plans for blue crab. And at that point, our crab pots harvested only 17.5 million pounds. In 2010, we saw a really good crab pot harvest, all the way up to 28 million, almost 29 million pounds of crab. 2012 kind of falls right between them at 23 million. We had a really good start in March for the 2012 season. Of course, we had that very warm winter last year, everybody remembers. Yellow jackets and mosquitoes were flying around in February. So we had an extremely strong March. And remember, March only started on March 17th. It wasn't even a full month. So basically, a two-week period, we harvested almost 2.5 million pounds of crab last year. So that is the highest that we've seen. And then over time, over the last couple months, it kind of mitigates out with the 2010 levels, and then as we get more towards fall, you see it kind of levels out. So that carryover I mentioned from the juvenile abundance looking to turn into fall harvest just didn't play out. Our peeler harvest also was higher than normal in the early months. Usually our peeler harvest really starts peaking out in May. April last year, we started to see more of a peeler harvest, a little bit less in May. But then as we crossed over into the fall, we saw it was actually lower. So in 2010, we had a million pounds. 2008, right as we were starting these current management measures, we only saw 963,000. Last year, we only saw 891,000. The commission will remember that last fall, in November, we came before you with a plan to extend the 2012 season to December 15th. And in that plan, we presented to you a conservation equivalency measure that, we'll get to that, a conservation measure where we put individual bushel limits in place on the different crab pot categories from the 85 crab pot category up to the 425. And those are in place for the entire 2013 season. And with that, we could extend our season. We projected we would harvest in that extension last year 349,000 pounds. Looking at our preliminary data, what we have found is we harvested 277,000. Of that, from November 21st through the 28th of last year, was 97,000 pounds of female. That was the 6 days the commission put in place as, you know, some of it's called the Sandy action. Maryland was extending their season in response to Hurricane Sandy, preventing some fishing days late in their season. The commission extended the same to ours. And then from November 20th through the 15th, the other part of our extension, we harvested another 180,000 pounds of blue crab, so 277,000. As many of you will remember, last year, the commissioner asked staff and VIMS to put in place this last winter a study on incidental mortality in the crab dredge fishery, in the crab dredge gear. So this study has been conducted. It was conducted by VIMS from December 2012 through this past March with our assistance. There are 19 different VMRC staff members that assisted with this project, putting in a total of 878.5 total staff hours. So quite a bit of commitment from our staff toward this project. The staff here at VMRC also conducted the bottom video surveys for specific sites in the last 2 months. So we actually contributed a little bit further onto this study, helping VIMS out. The study itself, you will see a final report from this from VIMS on this study, and hopefully by late July, at the latest would be August. But we're supposed to receive a final report from VIMS in late July on the actual results of the incidental mortality study. There were over 6,000 bushels of blue crabs harvested from by this study between four vessels. This was all based on a 40 bushel average per day, and we had 37 project days for each captain. There are 38 total project days, but each captain only participated in a total of 37. Each one ended up missing a day during the study. And the map that's depicted on here is just a depiction of some of the various areas where it was worked, primarily along the eastern side of the Chesapeake Bay, all the way up as far north as near Tangier, area up here known as the Ghost Hole and the San Marco Wreck, and then various other areas in the Middle Bay, and down here along the Bay Bridge Tunnel, and especially towards the south along the Powell Nets along Virginia Beach. More to come on that. Where are we today? Well, the Commission's well aware we have individual limits by license category, individual bushel limits. And then just recently, that was taken another step further. You place a vessel limit in the sense that the highest individual license category in the vessel is now the vessel limit. So that took that whole conservation measure last year and just took another step along with it. So we solved that in February. Our female season this year is not an extended year. Our female season goes back to the way it was set up. It would end on November 20th. Our male season would end on November 30th. And as I pointed out back in the female abundance information, where we are projecting out where we have a possibility of being at a 29% exploitation rate for this year, you know, we're talking about trying to maintain our female harvest levels at or near the 2012 levels to make sure we're not overfishing the stock in 2013. Now, the press releases, you'll note, the Maryland press release in particular, on the very last full paragraph on their press release, they make mention of a talk about having a 7 to 10% harvest reduction for females. For them, it's understandable. But if you look at what this commission has already enacted since last fall, these individual bushel limits, and now you've taken another step further with the vessel limits based on the individual. A lot of these conservation measures hopefully will take care of any need for us to do something further to this fishery. We already have the tools in place, and those measures that you've already done should prevent us needing to have that discussion. With that, Mr. Commissioner, that's all I have.
Joe, the season extension that we did last season does not reoccur this season unless we enact it, correct?
Unless you enact it.
We would have to amend the regulation to reenact it.
Current regulation has our season ending, as I have depicted here. The female season would end on the 20th. That would be the last day, November 20th, and the male season on November 30th.
Is there any discussion at last night's meeting about extending that season extension?
There was discussions on many topics at last night's CMAC meeting. We did present this to the Crab Management Advisory Committee last night. I think some of the members and attendees are here today with us wanting to comment. It was different discussions like that were at least broached, but the committee itself didn't provide us a specific recommendation. I think they're going to chew on this a little bit and come back to us and talk. We will be meeting with the committee during the summer.
Yeah. Good. Any questions of Joe? Mr. Beck?
Did I miss something that the report said something about evaluating the number of the dredging killed. The dredging would kill crabs, and I didn't see that in here.
Okay. That is part of the dredge incidental mortality study. The results of that study, which was overseen by VIMS, will be provided to the commission either in late July or by August.
Okay.
We'll have that whole report provided to you by that time. That's when it's due to the commission itself. So they'll detail that out for you.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Mr. Nixon, you had some comments.
Commissioner and Commission members, my name is Peter Nixon. For those of you that don't know me, I used to come over here a lot
I don't come over here at all anymore, which is pretty good.
We agree with that.
But I was,
we won't deny.
I felt an urge to come over here today after seeing the results of this dredge survey, which were absolutely no surprise to me. With all the great hullabaloo that there was last year and everybody getting rotator cuff problems, slapping themselves on the back about the great numbers that they had in this dredge survey last year. Last year was the worst year of crabbing that I've had in 40 years. Crabbing where I'm from Virginia Beach. I crab all around Norfolk. My business is in Norfolk. It's been on a steady decline since the early 90s down there. I think it was 1993. I came over here, Jack remembers, complaining about what was going on in the Nansel and the James River with the huge influx we had of peeler pots from the upper end of the bay down there at the time, and it sort of alarmed me because we started seeing a drop off then. No matter what we've done, this decline has not changed. It's gotten to the point now where I came in here today with a hat with a little crab on it, and my father passed away a number of years ago. He was in the car business in Virginia Beach for 50 years. Next year I'm going to have a hat with a little car on it. If things don't change. Every regulation that has been made in the last 10 years has changed the character of the fishery. It has moved the fishery from mainly a bay fishery for a large part of the year to an estuary fishery. Rom Lipsius, our eminent scientist from VIMS, started with this large bay sanctuary approach about 15 years ago. He first brought it to the General Assembly and presented it in front of the old Chesapeake and Tributaries Committee, and I was sitting in the committee room before that meeting that day, and he was explaining it to me. I said, Rom, I said, you're making a big mistake. I said, you're going to take a problem and move it from one place where it's bad to another place where it's going to be worse if you don't couple it with a huge reduction in effort or something, because you're going to take all the crabbers you have in the bay, a lot of them with large licenses, and you're going to move the fishery up the river to a more fragile area. And that's exactly what's happened. The whole character of the fishery has changed. A lot of the big boat crabbers are gone. They're older than I am. They've gotten out of the business. Their licenses has been transferred to people with small boats and skiffs, and they've all moved up river. Mr. Palmer can probably remember in Lynnhaven when he was the only one he had to deal with in his end of the river, and there might have been one or two more, and now there's how many crabbers in Lynnhaven? 10?
Every bit of it.
You know, and this is what we're seeing in every estuary. And the regulations that have been promulgated have actually forced people into this situation. You've been run out of the middle of the bay. A number of us have complained for years about the black sponge law, where as soon as the sponge turns dark, you have to get off of the sponge crabs. Well, what do all the crabbers do? They pick all their gear up. They don't quit. They can't go out in the bay somewhere else now. They go up the river. Everybody's on top of each other, and the rivers are picked to death. In this survey, you saw peeler catches and this, that, and the other. We had a James River closure back in the 70s for keypone poisoning, and the whole river was closed from Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel all the way up to the fall line, and it closed every estuary along with it, all branches of the Elizabeth River, the Pagan River, Deep Creek, the Mansman River, all of them. They were all closed. When they opened that up several years later, I started crabbing up there just a couple years after that. There were crabs big as my feet up there. Peelers we caught in the Nansman River in the 80s, you'd pull a peeler pot over the side of the boat on the double crab season. I don't know if you know what that is. That's when they mate, and we're catching mostly female crabs. They were running out of the funnels. You couldn't turn the pot over and shake it. You had to sit it and let the crabs go from the downstairs to the upstairs like sand in an hourglass. There were only four or five of us crabbing up there. You know, 10 years later, there's nothing up there. We got those big numbers a couple years ago, not as big as last year's. So I thought, oh, good, I'll get my feeler pots out and clean them all up, and I'll go up to Nansman again. I told John Bull a little while ago, I said, when I got done peelering up there that year, I had to go to one of the tool stores in Virginia Beach and get a long crowbar to get my tail out from between my legs because it was that bad. Talked to a friend of mine up there the other day that I was crabbing next to. He said it was even worse last year. So what are we to expect this year when the numbers drop? The whole key to that thing you had on there, and last year when I saw it, I was about 10 minutes late to the meeting for traffic, was I was looking at the 2011 survey, and or 2012, and I went up the thing, and I got to 1997, and it was almost the same numbers. We had a big drop-off in 98. This year it's even worse, but at least back then we were still catching peeler crabs. So that showed me that there was some recruitment in the fishery. Now we have no peeler crabs at the lower end of the bay. That sanctuary that was created by that keep home closure has finally been worked down to nothing. I guess, I don't know, it might have been 10 years ago, I was invited to speak at a bi-state blue crab committee meeting. Ron Lipsis was there. I think you were there that day. It was up at Solomon's Island. Several people spoke and did all their talks and stuff, and I got up there and I said, the first problem you folks have here, I said, is on your little emblem that you have for your committee, I said, you don't have the most important river in the whole bay even on your little emblem. You've completely eliminated the James River. The James River is the key to the whole thing. It's one of the largest rivers in the bay, and it's the river that's the closest to the high salinity. All crabs have to do when they breed and the peelers come out, they come out of the James River, boom, they're right there at Cape Henry. They don't have to travel down the bay, get attacked by fish all over, get fished over and over again at every stage of their growth by hundreds of thousands of crab pots. They shoot right out of the river. They're right there. We have a sanctuary outside of the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel that's been closed for how long, Jack? 40 years? 50 years? Where there's no crab pots to impede their progress towards that sanctuary. But the James River has always been hammering on and hammering on and hammering on ever since this opening. And now with the way the regulations are, it's getting beat up even more. I don't think we have a chance of bringing this fishery back at all ever again until you can do something somehow to emulate that sanctuary that was there during the 70s. I don't think we have a chance of ever having. There's nowhere in this state do we have any appreciable amount of large male crabs. I built my business on large male crabs. I supplied Phillips Restaurant at Waterside and six other fish markets in Virginia Beach and shipped crabs to Maryland back in the 80s and early 90s. I've got a little retail market. I can't even keep my customers happy now on my own catch. And we're going to continue seeing this again and again and again unless there's a paradigm shift in thinking on how to approach bringing this fishery back. What we're doing now is not working. So I just had to come over and say that today because it gets pent up and pent up and pent up, and I see nothing happening. I'll be 63 next month. I don't think I'll ever see it come back. So, ball's in your court.
Thanks for coming over, Pete.
Can I ask Mr. Nixon a question?
Yeah, sure.
So, Mr. Nixon, I certainly appreciate your thoughts and your experience. And so my follow-up question is, if you could wave a wand, what would you do? Would you have another sanctuary in the James? Would you make
– Well,
I didn't hear that, or maybe I missed it.
Well, I don't know. You know, a number of years ago, things were a little bit different. I could say close the fishery here and close it there. There were other opportunities for watermen. There's not many opportunities out there. There's not many opportunities in the economy if they get off the water. So I'm going to tell somebody he can't pay his electric bill?
Right. Yeah.
That's a big problem now. 15 years ago wasn't that bad, but we've come this much further, and it's that much worse now. I really don't know what you do, but you have to do something along those lines. I've seen over the last number of years crab pots get into shallower and shallower and shallower and shallower. I was cutting around by Armistead Avenue one day going over to Pocosin, and there's pots up in that little ditch way up there. What is it, New Market Creek or something? You can hardly turn a boat around in there. And it's because everybody's just trying to go further and further and further and try to find that high-quality big crab. It's not there. They're gone. Can't catch them twice. and they're not getting left alone long enough to, number one, do the amount of breeding that they need to do, and number two, grow into a crab that we can get good money for. It's a balancing act with this. You need to get, you don't need to catch all the crabs, but you need to catch enough crabs to make some money. And the best way you can do it is try to get a good quality crab and not catch all of them and get as much money as you can for it before you get to market resistance. And I don't have anything, I don't have anything good to sell anymore. So my volume's going down, my quality's going down, and I'm losing my customers. In Virginia Beach, we're real close to Currituck Sound in North Carolina. My main competition for my customers is a man in a truck on the side of Rosemont Road in Virginia Beach bringing these great big crabs up from North Carolina sitting on the side of the road. And I have to hear this from my customers. Why don't you have those great big crabs? I say, hey, don't look at me. I'm trying, you know. And I'm losing my business to a side of the road peddler coming up from Knott's Island. The worst thing about it is he carries all his money back to North Carolina. He didn't even spend it in Virginia Beach. So that's where we are in Virginia. The only hope that I have right now is maybe shipping female crabs frozen or alive to Phoenix, Las Vegas, West Coast, or whatever. But that's a small window of opportunity for all of us. You get a little window right now in the spring, then the crabs grow sponges, then they get poor in the summertime, and then you get that opportunity again in the fall. So you're only looking at 2 months either side of the whole summer where you've got decent female crabs to sell. So it's a real problem, and I don't think anybody's aware of it. I see these, I get them in the mail, see them on television. What a great job FIMS is doing, bringing back the crabs and all this stuff. I know some of you have got, send us $25 and help us out. You know, they're on TV every day now, and it's not true. You know, I tell these to my customers every single day.
Pete, Mr. Beck has a question.
Quickly, two questions. Are you saying that Virginia's crab period of harvesting crabs is too big, too long? Secondly, why are the crabs in Currituck Sound bigger than they are in the Bay?
Well, they might have a little bit longer growing season down there, but they have so much marsh in North Carolina, I think the crabs have more of a greater place to hide to get bigger. They have a larger crab than we do in the Gulf. But we had large crabs in the 80s. So it's possible to have them again. But you're going to have to reduce the pressure on them. It took me 15 years to try to get a 2 3/8 cull ring law passed in this state. We were using them back in the 80s when we weren't required to have them. Well, I made the suggestion over here, oh, man, I thought they were going to beat me up down in the lobby. The only reason it went from 2 5/16 to 2 3/8 was out of fear of what Governor O'Malley and Governor Kane were going to do with all this other stuff that we ended up with anyway. So it was offered as a you know, a salve to ease that, but we ended up with all of it. Nobody is really willing to give up anything. They're too scared about their incomes and what's going to happen. Are they going to catch anything? Different people still say we're breeding small crabs. Well, you're just culling your crabs. The pot's doing it for you. Down in the Gulf, I was looking at on Craigslist last night for something. I ended up on a boat site down in New Orleans. A guy had crab pots on there for sale. He said, I have 9 whole crab pots for sale. I said, 9 whole crab pots? What's a 9 whole crab pot? It had 9 cull rings in it. The whole stack of pots that he had for sale had cull rings all over it. You know, because they want to let all the little crabs shoot out too. The whole way of thinking about this industry has to change in this state, or we're just not going to have anything at all.
Pete, thanks. Thanks for coming over. Appreciate it. We always enjoy hearing from you. We've got,
have a story for you.
That's the only thing we missed.